You're listening to Soundside. I'm Libby Denkman. Seattle Public Schools is in the middle of a big shift in how it serves highly capable students. By the 2027-28 school year, SPS will completely phase out the highly capable cohort model, where students in the program go to a handful of schools that offer advanced curricula. Instead, they're moving to a neighborhood school model, where students will remain in their local classrooms. The district says teachers will personalize lesson plans to every kid's needs and abilities. SPS has cited equity issues as a top concern here. Highly capable cohort schools serve a much smaller percentage of Black and Hispanic students than is represented in the district overall. Seattle joins a nationwide conversation over how gifted education should work. Some school districts around the country have been phasing out honors and gifted programs over equity concerns. Some have reversed those decisions after community outcry. We were hoping today to speak about this with Seattle Public Schools Associate Superintendent Dr. Rocky Torres, who oversees advanced learning. Unfortunately, Dr. Torres has canceled two interviews with us and has not offered any time to reschedule. There are significant developments in this story to follow up on, however. In late April, the PTAs at Cascadia and Decatur Elementaries, two highly capable cohort schools, retained a lawyer and sent a letter to the district outlining concerns about the changes to the highly capable program. The letter alleges that SPS does not have the resources to adequately implement the neighborhood school model, and so closing the cohort schools would be a violation of state law, one that requires districts to provide educational programs for highly capable students. Joining me to discuss all of this is Katie McAllister, a member of the PTA at Decatur Elementary in Northeast Seattle, a highly capable cohort school, and Lara Ruschka, the founder and managing partner at Cedar Law, an education law firm based in Seattle. Hi, Katie and Lara. Thank you very much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Libby.
So, Katie, I wanted to start with you. First off, how did you get involved in this advocacy work? Why was it the right time for you to start talking about the issue of highly capable programs at Seattle Public Schools?
Well, I think that this began as just trying to figure out what the coming years would look like for Decatur Elementary. We're a small school, and with the upcoming potential consolidations and closures, it became very clear that we would probably be on the chopping block. So our advocacy began there with trying to figure out how to best transition our community and advocate for our community in the future. But more recently, as the details of how this rollout was going to happen and the transition was going to happen from HEC and a cohort program to the neighborhood model, we increasingly became concerned that our children were not going to be able to receive the kind of services they needed based on the model that SPS had rolled out.
Lara, can you lay out the concerns just broadly that you outlined in this letter to Seattle Public Schools? What does the letter say?
Sure. I guess I'm also an HCC parent. I have a second grader at Thurgood Marshall Elementary, but so I've been thinking about this issue for a while, for several years, as the sunset has kind of come upon us for the highly capable program. And the law as written, RCW 28A-185, that chapter is pretty broad. Districts have a lot of discretion on how they're going to deliver highly capable. But as we got closer and closer to the date, and as they started to sunset the program, we realized that the district does not have a viable replacement. They've put forward this idea about decentralizing and about, you know, the neighborhood schools model, but there's no additional staffing, there's no additional funding. And when we've asked for more clarification, it's really been a hot potato issue within the district. We've had a hard time getting straight answers and even knowing who we're supposed to be speaking to. So in the absence of any concrete information about what that's going to look like, we don't even think they're meeting the floor of their obligation to provide any education for highly capable, and it's just being closed. So in the absence of a viable solution, we're challenging that the district isn't even meeting its obligation, the floor, to provide any highly capable programming, and instead is just dismantling the program.
Lara, the district says that this model will actually be better for highly capable kids. They're going to be in their neighborhood schools. They don't have to go to a special school, probably far away from their neighborhood. And the challenges will be individualized. They'll be tailored to them and to what they need in the classroom. Your response to that?
I don't believe that just saying it makes it so. And we haven't seen any evidence of additional staffing or funding or strategic planning on how we're going to accelerate curriculum. Teachers are already trying to differentiate. The inclusion effort through special education, I think, has given us some indication of how this is going to go. And it's not been successful from my perspective as an attorney. I deal with lots of cases about students with exceptionalities on all parts of the spectrum, students with learning disabilities, autism, students who are neurodiverse, students who are highly capable. I think of all of that as kind of sides of the same coin. And we do not believe that there's a true plan, and simply saying it's going to be delivered and putting the onus back on the classroom teacher to differentiate more than they already are doesn't inspire confidence, and we don't think it meets the baseline threshold of what they're obligated to provide.
Katie, in your letter, there are a couple of proposed solutions, one of them being simply for the sunsetting of highly capable cohort pathways to be paused and for the schools to continue serving grades 2 through 5 with the highly capable identified kids. The other is to consolidate Decatur into Cascadia, because these two schools, as you note in your letter, at one point were one. Both of these things indicate that you are worried about the future of your school and its viability as Seattle Public Schools is looking to cut costs and potentially to consolidate. Are you concerned that these highly capable schools, either Decatur or Cascadia, would be closed under a future district plan?
It's a very likely possibility that, particularly Decatur, we are a small school. Currently, our enrollment's around 188 students. And right now, with the sunsetting of the program, the plan that they released when they began to plan on sunsetting the program was that they were going to originally transition these cohort schools into neighborhood schools. So, when the sunsetting began, they would backfill with a kindergarten and first grade class, and eventually schools like Decatur and Cascadia would become neighborhood schools. But it became very clear last year that there was no redistricting, there was no plan, and that instead of following through with their published plan, they were just going to start eliminating grades. And for small schools like us, once you begin eliminating grades, it gets a little dire quickly. And so even next year, we're looking at reduced numbers because we won't have a first grade, reduced students. And so it becomes almost an inevitability that we will have to consolidate or close down more quickly than Cascadia, which is a larger school. We have been working as Decatur with the district since almost the beginning of the school year, trying to partner with them, looking towards even voluntary consolidation. We've had meetings and we went a certain path with the district. We went for a certain amount of time and then they went radio silent. They said, "Oh, it can't happen. Sorry, you're open next year. Good luck." And we want to be advocates for our children having enough resources, our teachers having what they need. And so that's been part of the whole path we've been on this year. And I think we're very open to the idea that changes need to happen. We are excited for opportunities for more children to get access to these services. And we don't see how that is actually going to happen with the current plan as SBS has it laid out.
Yeah. So there's two prongs here. I mean, there's the concern about the service for highly capable kids in the neighborhood model. And there's also the concern about the future of the pathway schools and what happens, especially if Decatur is potentially part of the consolidation or closure plans for the district. I want to talk about equity because this is the number one concern that the district has cited in its plan to make a neighborhood model instead of these pathway schools. The HCC schools do not represent the demographics of the district. They have a higher percentage of white and Asian students than Seattle Public Schools overall. Critics have argued that these schools have become an avenue for wealthier, more privileged parents to really squeeze special treatment out of the district in a way that I, think can smack of elitism, of unfairness. Laura, your response to these equity concerns that the district and critics have had about tracking programs overall?
Yeah, we absolutely share the concern about equity. I mean, our understanding is that equity in the HCC program is more an issue of identification than cohorting. And the way that the district is dealing with it to us feels like throwing the baby out with the bathwater when they should be, dealing with addressing universal screening, getting more students identified. And that's an effort that has been made also. Looking at the OSPI data, our understanding is that since 2016, the percentage of Black and Latino students has approximately doubled. And we're not there yet where it represents, an appropriate proportion of the students, but that's tremendous progress. Our concern is if these programs are closed, that higher income families are going to flee to private schools and lower income families are the ones that are going to be disproportionately impacted yet again and without any services at all. So we see the equity effects of closing these programs as more dire than working to fix it.
Katie, if there was a plan put forward by the district that parents could be confident in, wouldn't it be better for kids to go to their neighborhood school and to be in classes that are more representative of the community as a whole? I mean, doesn't that idea seem like a better educational situation for highly capable kids? Again, caveating if there was a plan to serve them and to create these individualized plans that you could feel confident in.
Yeah, Libby, I think so many of our families really love their neighborhood schools. For many families, when they make the move to a cohort school, it's not because they don't like their neighborhood schools. In fact, they often love their communities, and it's often a very hard decision. And so we were hopeful as we waited for the details of this plan to come out that this might actually expand the opportunities for families to stay in their neighborhood schools. But unfortunately, that's just not how it's shaping up at the moment. And I think that there's a real opportunity here. And we would love to see the district be able to formulate a plan that really delivered these services equitably and effectively in their neighborhood schools. And we're just arguing that this isn't that plan.
Katie, staying with you, if you don't hear back from the district, I assume they haven't met your May 8th deadline to respond to your proposed solutions here. What are the next steps? I mean, you've retained a law firm. It seems like you mean business. Are the Decatur and Cascadia PTAs prepared to file a lawsuit?
I think that will be a discussion that will go back to both boards and to our communities and to conversations with Laura. So I'm not comfortable speaking to that at the moment. We would love to work with the district. We would love to be engaged with the district. We would love to be partners with the district. We do not want to be at loggerheads with them. We want the best outcomes for all children in HCC programs and general education programs. And I hope that we can move forward in that vein of partnership, of engagement, and truly trying to find a path that really expands these services to the entire population of Seattle Public Schools.
Laura, this conversation about detracking, as some people call it, basically getting kids who are in the highly capable cohort or otherwise identified as neurodivergent and, special ed kids all into these mainstream classrooms and individualizing, differentiating lesson plans. This is a conversation that's happening all over the country. There are fights over this in San Francisco and New York and Rhode Island, everywhere. Before we go, in your mind, what does it look like to properly serve HCC students, highly capable students in Seattle Public Schools? And what are the next steps here in this conversation?
I think inclusion is always the goal with all students with exceptionalities. And again, I think of students who are highly capable the same way I think of students who are exceptional or neurodiverse in other ways. And I think when we're thinking about serving students who are all along a spectrum, we want to be as inclusive as possible. But the reality is that there are some students who are on the margins of how they can be served. And so, in the same way that we make individualized educational planning for students with special education, I think we need to apply that to the highly capable cohorts. And in terms of how we're serving them now, I think there needs to be some really thoughtful, funded planning with staffing support. And that's just not what's happening. And so, we talk about building the airplane while you're flying it. I feel like they're dismantling the airplane before we land it. And so we want Seattle to pause the dismantling, to pause the sunsetting, and to really meaningfully engage in substantive, transparent planning so that parents can be assured that their students are going to be taken care of.
Katie, is there anything else you want to add before we go? What are your hopes for the future of this conversation?
I think we just all hope that the district might be willing to engage, that we might be able to change the rhetoric and to find ways that these kids could get the services they need. One thing I would like to note is that the district seems to be closing in on a sort of a one-size-fits-all model, and children are so diverse in how they learn and what they need. And we struggle to see how putting the onus on the teachers to create all these individual plans can really bear out the best for all these different children and all their different learning needs. And so I guess ultimately our hope is that, once again, that we can engage with the district, that we can have conversations, and that we could work together to find a model that really is equitable, that really does provide these services. And I hope that they will be willing to work with us.
That's Katie McAllister, a member of Decatur Elementary's PTA. You also heard from Lara Ruschka, who is the founder and managing partner at Cedar Law, an education law firm in Seattle. Thank you both very much for being here.
Thank you for having us.
Thanks, Libby.
And we have reached out to the Seattle Public Schools Board and are hopeful we can continue this conversation on the future of gifted ed next week. Thanks for listening to Soundside. This show is only possible because listeners support us. If you're able to give right now, please check out the show notes for a link to donate. And don't forget, you can listen live on KUOW 94.9 FM Seattle at noon and 8 p.m. Monday through Thursday, or anytime online at KUOW.org.
Hi, it's Terry Gross, the host of Fresh Air. We bring you in-depth, long-form interviews with actors, directors, musicians, authors, journalists, and more. Listen to our Peabody Award-winning Fresh Air podcast from WHYY and NPR.